Jesus, we thank you and praise you for speaking to us. We love you. And you always demonstrate how much, how totally and completely you love us. We thank you. Holy Spirit, let our eyes be open so that we can see beyond the natural. And we can see what's in the supernatural. We can see the things that are hidden in this world. We can see your supernatural truth. Lord, we just want to be able to stand. We thank you for the armor. We want to and we believe that we will stand. We speak to just each other, your strength, to stand and to stand strong. And we will walk in your peace. It doesn't matter what we see taking place around us. It doesn't matter what the storms are. We say to you, we will walk in your peace because we know you, we love you, we trust you, and we rely upon you. And the world will see the difference in us because we walk in your peace. We give you the praise for it. All of these things. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You be glorified in our lives and be glorified in this time. For as you've already spoken to us, we still anticipate and look forward to you speaking to us through your word. Again, it's all to your glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated. You were anyway. I hope you guys remember, when you hear a word given before I give the word, make note of it. I mean, think about it. Make note of it. Because as I go through this word, if you remember the word that was shared before, time and time again, you will hear. It's just amazing to me. I know what I'm going to speak on. It's just amazing to me how the Holy Spirit just speaks through us to give us the word, to give us the truth. So hear those things, mark those things, remember those things. It'll definitely strengthen and encourage you as you go through today and as you carry it on to the rest of this week as well. Everybody good this morning? Everybody enjoy the snow? Really? Nice. Wow. Well, that's right, because Kyle's building an igloo, right? Can we all come over and get inside the igloo? Oh. It sounds like it's a little smaller than that. But before we get started this morning, a couple of things. First of all, I want to just pray over people because birthdays are coming up this week. Dina, your birthday is Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday. You didn't look surprised that I knew that at all. And Joshua, your birthday is Friday, right? Tax day. Everybody's always going to remember Joshua's birthday. It's tax day. So we're going to pray for both of them, but also Sam's due date is today, right? So we're going to pray for that life and that life before that one's even born, but that all goes well with that. She'll be here by the end of the week? All right. They're going to induce? Okay. Well, as we pray, just point your hands towards those we're praying to, but certainly for Sam. Just point your hands and let's in faith just speak all of his blessings over her and over this birth. Lord, we thank you and praise you for those lives, for these lives that you created and you've brought into our lives. We're strengthened and we are stronger and we see you because of these lives in our lives. So we thank you. We just speak your blessing over Dina, over Joshua. As they celebrate birthdays this week, we celebrate the life that you've created in them and we say thank you for them. And we speak the fullness of your joy and your blessings over them. That the year ahead for each one of them is a year where they walk in the full favor that you have for them. We speak that blessing upon them. We thank you for them in your name, Jesus. Lord, we just lift up Sam. We lift up this little girl, this precious little girl that's going to be coming into this life, that we'll be celebrating her birthday a year from now. We thank you and praise you for that. I thank you that all goes well and smooth in that delivery. We thank you for keeping Sam safe, the baby safe, and Brandon's heart at peace during the whole time. We just rejoice in this little one. And even before she's born, we speak everything that you've planned for her life. We thank you that those things come to pass, that she very quickly, as she grows up, comes to know you as Lord and Savior, and she walks in the fullness of every plan you have for her. We rejoice in these things, and we say thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so two weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. I always feel like we should have some kind of like an applause light that goes on when I say that, because that's always worthy of celebration. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. Yeah, okay, good. Mention it once and pick it up. Last week, we looked at what took place after the resurrection of Jesus. And what took place after the resurrection of Jesus, that's also noteworthy. Yes, that's also praiseworthy. What took place after the resurrection of Jesus is Jesus appeared. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he appeared to his disciples who had gathered together, with the notable exception of Thomas. His appearance demonstrated the power of the resurrection, that Jesus had totally defeated the hold of sin and death by his sacrifice. It showed, it demonstrated, it represented that we have the total and complete victory. We have total and complete victory in Jesus Christ. Regardless, as we just heard this morning, regardless of the storms, regardless of what life suggests or speaks to you, we have the total, absolute, complete victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus gained the victory. We now operate in the authority of his name to enforce his victories. Jesus works through us to bring those spiritual realm realities, every victory that he's already established for us, from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, to displace the natural realm realities that are contrary to his promises and to his word. Did you get all that? That's like a spiritual equation. Because this is true and this is true, this is the truth. I'll say it again in just a second. You ever see those, you know when mathematicians or physicists, they write their mathematical equations up on the chalkboard? It's like an entire chalkboard filled with symbols and numbers, and it's all to prove their theory. That's what I just gave you. That is a spiritual equation. Because this is true, and this is true, this is true. These are truths that we can hold on to. Jesus gained the victory. And because he gained the victory, we operate in the authority, the full authority of his name, to enforce those victories that he's already established. He moves through us to bring those spiritual realm realities, everything, every victory he's already established for us, to bring them from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, to displace those natural realm realities that are opposed to or at odds with his promises and his word. That's a spiritual equation we can remember and hang on to. I always have those spiritual axioms up before you come. We should start getting some spiritual equations. Because this is true, here's the truth you can hang on to. So we were looking at those things last week. Last week we also saw, or heard, we tried to see, we didn't really see it, but we heard that one man, as he gave a summary of what the world's teaching on this subject is. And he entitled that message that he had, and it was an entitled message. He entitled it, "The Gospel of Doubt." Doubt is a sham gospel. Doubt actually encaptures us. It enslaves us. It counters. It mocks the gospel of Jesus Christ. It mocks the good news of Jesus. Doubt tells us not to believe for the impossible. And that's where you and I as believers are supposed to live, in the impossible. We should expect every day, we should expect to experience supernatural victories in great things and in small things. In great things, but not just like the parting of the Red Sea great things, we should expect that, but also in the everyday things of life. Every day we should expect those things. Let me give you an example. This is going back about 8 years ago, when we had just completed the build-out for our current facility at Yes FM. We just completed that build-out. And when we completed it, it was completed only because Jesus provided supernaturally for us. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the resources. I didn't have the know-how. Jesus provided supernaturally for us in the area of finances. He provided supernaturally for us in the area of resources and in people to do things that otherwise would have been impossible for us to do. Thank you, Mark. You know, only God, Mark, and Gene know the sacrifices that Mark made. Thank you 1,000 times, Mark. I know Jeremy took down some walls. Donna, she was active with the sledgehammer taking down walls as well. We have pictures of that. We have pictures of that, yes. You don't want to get Donna angry because she was taking out some aggressions on those walls. But it's only because Jesus provided supernaturally, literally, he provided those supernatural things. He took what was impossible in the natural and he made it possible. Now that's stunning enough, but that's not the end of it. And here's something that most people don't know or realize about Yes FM and about those first days when we moved into our current facility. We completed the build out and we moved in, and it was fall when we moved in. And it was already getting cold when we moved in. We moved in and that's when we realized our heating system doesn't work. We had no money left. We had no money to begin with. We had no money to repair it. So it took us weeks, months, to accumulate the money and to arrange for the heating system to be fixed. Well, as those days went by, it got colder and colder on the outside. But it never got colder on the inside. It stayed, when I say comfortably warm, it was more comfortably warm then, more comfortable than it is now, because he set his thermostat higher than we set the thermostat there now. It was comfortably warm, and there was no heat that was involved there. Jesus supernaturally provided. This is the impossible that we should believe for every day in our lives. He supernaturally provided heat for us when we had no heat. Now, a lot of people tried to explain away what happened. I don't know why, even believers. Why do we try to explain away the things that Jesus does? But I had people that tried to explain it away, and they said, oh, well, that's just because you're in a strip mall, and so you were picking up just the residual heat from your neighbors on either side. Not possible. Because this was built out as a radio station. It was insulated beyond, well beyond, markedly beyond what any place would be insulated, because we could not afford to have any sound coming in from the businesses around us or from the outside. And likewise, if you're at Yes FM, we play the music loud in the building, and we couldn't have that music going out either. So that place was insulated beyond what you'd possibly imagine so that no sound could enter in. It was insulated from floor to ceiling, but not just that. It was extra insulated above our drop ceiling. It's insulated there. We were like encased. We were enclosed totally in this box of insulation. Insulation that would not allow for sound or for heat to come in. No sound or heat from the outside gets into that place. And yet for all of those weeks, it remained warm. And if anybody doubts that it was supernatural, during the winter, I'll ask you to come over to Yes FM. Go back into our back storage area, which is not heated, and you will see how cold it can get in there. Jesus supernaturally provided that heat for us when we had no other resources. He provided it until such time as we could get that heat. Jesus provides for us supernaturally. We should have, think about this. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. We should have an expectance surprise. We should always expect to be surprised. Expect to be surprised by the things that Jesus will do for you on a daily basis. Things that are impossible. This is what his appearance, when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, it was to prove, it was to demonstrate the resurrection power that we should be living in every day of our lives. What are your needs today? What is it that's impossible today? What is it that you've just accepted in life because it's impossible? It's not impossible in him. Every single one of you, as I'm looking at you, every single one of you, I know you've got testimonies where you have seen and lived the impossible taking place in your life. Those are the things that we need to remember and remind ourselves on an ongoing daily basis, so that when something arises that the world, that the enemy tells you, the defeated one, when he tells you something's impossible, we can just laugh and say, oh no. It might be impossible in the natural, but I serve a supernatural Jesus. Nothing is impossible. So we also learned last week that at the very moment of the greatest supernatural event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus, at that very moment, an obstacle arises. The obstacle of doubt. Doubt that is evidenced by Thomas refusing to believe that Jesus was alive, even despite the testimony of the other disciples. Thomas was not with the other 10 disciples when they had gathered together, when Jesus appeared to them on that evening of his resurrection. We saw this, I'm going to read to you from the New American Standard Bible. This is John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." We saw in the Amplified Bible, it says, "I will never believe." At that greatest moment, greatest supernatural event, we see that obstacle of doubt. And it's that doubt that still rises up within this flesh if we allow it to. At that declaration, at that documentation by the Bible, right there where the Bible documented Thomas's refusal to believe, the Bible, God's word of truth revealed to us, the Bible at that moment calls Thomas by a second name, which we looked at last week. That second name is Didymus. Didymus means the twin. At the very moment of Thomas's expressing his doubt, we are exposed to the two sides, to the twin sides of who we are, the spiritual and the carnal. Now, on the one hand, we are spiritual. We have the Spirit, the living Spirit of God Himself dwelling in us. He dwells in us in truth, righteousness, and power. He is in you. We are spiritual beings. On the other hand, we still live in these natural bodies. And these natural bodies are tied to this world. And because these natural bodies are tied to this world, these natural bodies, the flesh, only perceives the things of the world. The flesh does not easily, the flesh cannot perceive the things of the spiritual realm. And that's why it becomes very easy for us to share the doubts of the world. It's harder for us to see the spiritual truths. But that is why it is imperative that on a daily basis we transform our minds. We transform our thinking on a daily basis. We learn this from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, remember that, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present this flesh as a living sacrifice. Yield this flesh and the accompanying doubts that come along with it. Yield this flesh to God. We are not conformed. Listen, we are not conformed to the doubts and the uncertainties that are opposed to the Word of God. We are not conformed to those. We transform our thoughts into His thoughts. Then the doubts are removed and faith is expressed. Then we can move forward. Then we can walk into the impossible with Jesus. And by doing that, we prove to ourselves and we prove to the world, as God spoke through Jim, we prove to the world what the will of God is for our lives. His will is that we walk in Him. His will is that we walk in His victories. His will is that we walk into the supernatural. This is what glorifies Him. These are the things that glorify Him. That's why we are to have our eyes, just like the story beforehand, just like the story with Elijah. We're to have our eyes opened, so that we can see not just what's in the natural, but we can see Those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. We can see into the spiritual realm and to see the things that Jesus has already established for us, that he's already done for us. And we can see those things. So these are the twin elements of who we are. We have the Spirit which ties us always. Picture this. The Spirit ties us always to the throne of God. We are tied to the throne of God, where it's revealed to us the eternal truths and wisdom of God for us on a daily basis. The Spirit ties us to that. But the flesh ties us to this carnal world. And it's the carnal world that teaches us to doubt. Our challenge on a daily basis, our challenge is to make sure that our faith, you have all the faith you need. Our challenge is to make sure that our faith always outweighs the doubts of this world and this life. Remember the father whose son was demon-possessed, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, believe only? And his response was, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. This is where we live. He had faith. He believed, but he also realized there was doubts. Help me in my unbelief. We need to make sure that our faith, you have the faith of Jesus Christ invested in you. You have all the faith you need. We need to make sure that our faith is not outweighed by the doubts, all the lies of the defeated one, that he wants us to doubt. He wants us to be unsure. We have the faith of Jesus Christ. We walk in his victories in all things. Remove the doubt by the word of God. Build yourself up in the word of God, and there's no room for doubt. The word cleanses this temple of doubt. Just like we read about in the Old Testament. The word cleanses us, this temple of doubt. If you remember, just a few weeks ago, we were looking at the Kidron Valley. And when we talked about the Kidron Valley, we learned that in the Old Testament, those good kings of Judah, when they took the throne, when they read the word of God, when the word was presented to them and they read the word, what did they do? They cleansed the idolatry. They cleansed all the idols out of the temple. It was called refuse and debris. Remove the refuse and the debris of doubt from this temple by the word of God. This is what we're called to do. Amen? You guys, obviously, I don't have to read the whole thing because I'm sure we all remember the story of the Shunammite woman. So the Shunammite woman in the Old Testament, she saw one of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament as she saw her son raised from the dead. What I want to do is compare the Shunammite woman. Let's compare her with Thomas. Because both of them faced monumental disappointments in their lives. But their responses to those disappointments were different. So the Shunammite woman, she ministered to Elijah, the man of God. She even built that extra room onto her house so that when Elijah was in the area, he had a place to stay. He had a place to be. And because she did this and because she blessed the man of God, God blessed her and gave her a son. The Bible tells us that her son grew. But the Bible also says one day her son died as she held him. So she took the body of her son. She laid the body of her son on the bed of the man of God. She closed the door to that room and she went to find Elijah. Now Elijah saw her coming a long way off and he sends Gehazi, his messenger. He sends Gehazi to go and to ask her this question. Is all well with you, with your husband, and with your son? And the Shunammite woman sends the messenger back, sends the messenger ahead of her back to Elijah with this message. It is well. She finally gets to Mount Carmel where Elijah is. She falls at Elijah's feet. She grabs hold of his feet and she will not let go because she knows the power of God. She believes in the power of God to deliver her son back unto life. And she will not let go of that belief until she sees Elijah raise her son from the dead in the power of God. Thomas faced his disappointments. I got too loud for the little one. I got too excited for the little one. Thomas faced his disappointments. His disappointment in the death of Jesus, he faced that disappointment with these bitter words. Thomas said, "I will never believe." The Shunammite woman, she faced her disappointment in the death of her son with these words, "It is well." And she moved forward. She went ahead into the impossible because she believed and she received the supernatural in her life. She had been prepared for that moment when she would have to subdue her doubts and believe for the impossible. She prepared for that moment by making room for the Lord. She literally made a room for Elijah, the representative of God. Thomas was prepared for that moment when he would have to subdue his doubts and believe for the impossible. He was prepared. He walked with the Lord for more than 3 years. But when life brought circumstances, when life brought results that were contrary to the promises of the Word, their responses were different. In doubt, Thomas did not move forward. He did not go ahead into the supernatural with expectancy for the supernatural from God. Thomas dwelled in his disappointment and in his hurt. He dwelled there. Thomas literally separated himself in doubt. That's what doubt does. Thomas separated himself. Remember, he was not with the other remaining disciples when they gathered together on that third day. Thomas lived in doubt. The Shunammite woman, she wouldn't stay where she was at. The Shunammite woman, she would not dwell in doubt. She advanced towards God. She advanced towards the impossible. She advanced towards the supernatural. She kept moving forward in the Lord because she had an expectation for the supernatural. And she received the supernatural as her son was restored back unto life. What about us? Which of those two responses best reflects our responses when life tells us something that is contrary to the promises in this world, in this word? What is our response when life says something contrary to the word? Is it more like Thomas or is it more like the Shunammite woman? We need to follow the Shunammite woman's example. Now, as you're contemplating that answer in yourself, I want to tell you a story about Sox. Sox, the German shepherd. When I was a boy, I was about Kyle's age. We went to visit my aunt. My aunt loved animals. And she took my brother and I. Okay, I don't have a real picture of Sox, but this is going to give you, this is my memory of Sox right there. This is what he looks like. What? So my aunt took, keep picturing this in your mind. My aunt took my brother and I to see this dog, Sox. So we go into this neighbor's yard, we go in the backyard, and there's Sox. Sox is chained to this doghouse. This is a rundown, ratty, dilapidated-looking, sorry doghouse. And as soon as Sox sees us, Sox goes ballistic. Like that. Only I was only this big, so Sox was huge, like a bear. Sox went ballistic. He was barking. He was yelping. He was yanking at his chain to the full extent that that chain would allow him to go. Sox's whole world was about 20 feet radius around that doghouse because that's the length of his chain. That's all. That was Sox's entire world. Sox woke up in the morning and went to bed at night in that 20-foot radius. That was his world. Sox probably lived and died in that 20-foot radius that his chain allowed him to go. All the grass was gone in that 20-foot radius because he had just pacing back and forth. He killed all the grass. It was just dirt. Since he lived and dwelled in that 20-foot radius chained to that doghouse, you can understand why Sox was frustrated. And you can understand why in that frustration, when he saw any living organism coming to within his 20-foot realm of his world, he just went bananas. I never saw socks again. I saw him one time. Yet I never forgot that illustration of socks being chained to that doghouse and the result that I could see that it made in socks. He was chained to that doghouse. Listen, if Satan can get you to, like Thomas, give in to doubt, then just like socks, he has you chained. You are chained to Satan's doghouse. You can't move ahead. He has you anchored in defeat. You can't move ahead, and you can't move into and see the supernatural and the impossible things in Jesus because you are tied up in Satan's backyard by doubt. Doubt holds us back. Doubt will not allow us to move forward into the impossible. And then we wind up being frustrated, just like socks. We wind up being frustrated and we bark at life and we make a lot of noise, but we can't go anywhere because doubt has us chained to that doghouse. Break the chain of doubt. Break the chain of doubt and move forward, expecting to see the impossible. What's impossible? What is facing you that's impossible? I guarantee you, it's not impossible. Break the chains of doubt. Let's move forward, expecting to see the impossible in Jesus Christ. We also last week looked at Psalm 78. If you remember, Psalm 78 is that psalm that chronicles for us, actually all the way back to Abraham, but it chronicles for us all these supernatural deliverances and provision that God made for his people, the Israelites, from Egypt all the way through the wilderness. But it also chronicles for us the fact that his people would not believe in his supernatural. They doubted. In fact, the mistake of the Israelites was that despite seeing all the supernatural things that he did, despite seeing those things, they refused to rely on and trust in his wondrous works. We read that last week, and I'm going to look at it again. This is Psalm 78. Verse number 32. I'm going to show this in the Amplified Bible. In spite of all of this, all the things that God had done supernaturally, in spite of all of this, they sinned still more, for they believed not in, relied not on, and adhered not to him for his wondrous works. They refused to believe in him. They would not put their faith in him. They would not rely on and put their trust in him. We see the same thing in the New Testament when Jesus was with the disciples in the boat. Remember, Jesus was asleep and the storm rises up. And the disciples, fearing for their lives, cry out. And they question Jesus. And they question Jesus if he cares for them. They didn't have any doubt or they didn't have any trust. They were operating in doubt. They weren't believing for Jesus to deliver them. We see that in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse number 40. Again, the Amplified Bible. I want you to listen to how this says. Hear the similarity from the verse we just read to this verse. He said to them, Jesus, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no firmly relying trust? Same thing we saw in Psalm 78. The disciples had seen the supernatural power of Jesus, but when the circumstances of life appeared to them to be impossible, they, just like their forefathers in the wilderness, they doubted. They refused to rely on, trust in, and believe in the supernatural works of Jesus. What about us? You know, that generation in the wilderness, that generation that had left Egypt, because that generation doubted, it's also because they didn't obey. But because they doubted, they did not enter into the promised land. Today, we don't enter into all the full promises that Jesus has for us because we, like them, yield to the doubt. And we will not rely upon him for the supernatural things in this world. We are supposed to trust in and believe for the impossible. We don't just accept the things that life brings us. We believe for his word and his promises to come to pass, regardless what life says, suggests, or presents to you. Amen? So let's go back to Psalm 78. We just saw the verse, verse number 32, that told us, because they refused to believe in and rely upon and trust in his wondrous works, they doubted. They would not believe. Now, if we go one verse down further from that, so Psalm 78, verse number 33, this is the very next verse after we see that they would not believe in God's wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed like a breath in emptiness, falsity, and futility, and their years in terror and sudden haste, because they would not look to God, because they would not expect to see the supernatural from God, their lives were consumed. Their lives were filled with futility and emptiness of days. Yeah, and falsity. You know, when we give ourselves over to doubt, we start to believe that which is false. That's what it does. When we just complacently accept what the world brings to us, when we just complacently accept it, not expecting to see the supernatural, we wind up with those same growing feelings of futility in life. And you wind up saying, I thought I'd be farther than where I am today. Why am I here? I thought I'd be farther along than I am now. We start to feel that futility. We also get frustrated, just like Socks the dog. We get frustrated. We get frustrated because we experience the emptiness of days, because we never get beyond that doghouse that we're chained to by our doubts. Now let's go down just a few more verses, still in Psalm 78. This is verse number 41. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. They would not believe. They would not rely. They would not trust in his wondrous works. Again and again, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Think about that last statement. I mean, just think about what that says. They limited God. God is limitless. God himself is limitless. But we limit God when we, just like Thomas, just like those in the wilderness, when we refuse to believe, when we operate in only doubt. Satan can't limit God. Satan's defeated, as we also heard this morning. Satan can't limit God because he's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. He can't limit God. We are the only ones that limit God, and we limit God by our doubts. Those same doubts that chain us to Satan's doghouse. I'm not Satan's dog. We need to break those chains. Break the chains of doubt. Get out of Satan's backyard and start moving forward, believing for that which is impossible in the natural. It's impossible in the natural, but it is possible in Jesus Christ. We stand on his word. We stand on his promises. Believe for the impossible. Jesus has already done his part. He did his part at the cross. Now we have the full power and authority in his name. It is the power of Jesus Christ that moves in us and through us. But our part is what Dan's testimony was last week. Our part is we are to speak the word in faith. Our part is to speak the word in faith and believe for the impossible in Jesus. This is the season four, just 2 weeks ago. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But let's go beyond just celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Let's operate in the resurrection power that was demonstrated by his victory. Let's operate in that resurrection power by living our lives, expecting, speaking, and expecting the impossible in Jesus in our lives. Amen? You guys believe that and receive it? Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. You be glorified. Holy Spirit, stir this back in our minds again and again, today, tonight, this week, because when the impossible presents itself to us, let us remember these words so that we do not complacently accept the impossible, but instead we say we have the victories in you. Those things that you've already established for us, you've gained the victory. we have the full authority in your name, Jesus. You operate through us. You bring those spiritual realm realities from the spiritual realm. All of those things you've already established for us, you bring them from the spiritual realm to the natural realm to displace the natural realm realities that are opposed to your word and your promise. This is what we want to live in our lives today and every day. Because as we do, the world will look and see and take notice. It'll prove to us and prove to the world your will for us, which is to walk victoriously in you and to glorify your name in it. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. I believe this for each one of us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise him this morning.